Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 69 of Riding Through the Ages Current Common. I am Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
And today we will be watching episode 15 of Kamen Rider Revice entitled Eradicate Showdown Dead Mans. It aired on December 19th, 2021. It was written by Hanta Kinoshita and directed by Satoshi Murata. So, Commander's full on bad guy.
Yes.
And he has a name. He's the Chameleon now.
Yeah, he's a Chameleon.
Yeah, the Chameleon's the Commander.
Suck at whatever your name is.
Yeah. Well, we'll just call him Commander. We'll just call him Chameleon Deadmans because he's not the Commander, which was the name we couldn't remember.
Right.
And we don't know the name of the Chameleon.
Yeah.
So.
And Commander Chameleon sounds too much like a superhero.
Commander Chameleon. Sounds like actually like a Saturday morning cartoon kids show.
Yeah.
Like Commander Chameleon and Captain Duck.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it sounds like.
So they have the lawyer, the doctor, the chameleon, and the two.
Yeah, and then
Orteca and Julio, and then now.
Plot twist.
Yeah, plot twist, which was kind of seen coming.
Yeah. Aguilera is the sixth.
It's not like a plot twist. It's like it was an option.
Yeah.
It was always, if it hadn't been the case, it wouldn't have been like, what? And it being the case isn't like surprise either.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that was one of the options that was possible.
Right.
You know, it's like if somebody gets an element and it's like fire or ice, you're like, fine. But it's not like their element is bubble gum. You're like, what?
Yeah.
It's not way out of left field.
Yeah, it's not earth, water, fire, heart.
Yeah. Bubble gum. That, I think there's actually a devil's fruit for that. But devil fruit for like everything. They have the gift stamp.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they used to make them. They made them gift X.
Yes.
That is the
three.
The three. They're all now gift X.
So.
Which means they should be stronger?
Yeah, they should be the same strength. Or not, maybe not the same strength, but they should be on the level of like the.
Julio and Orteca.
Julio and Orteca.
Yeah. Just whatever. They're stronger.
Yes.
Yeah, we haven't seen it yet, but we can assume.
Well, they were already talking about last episode how much stronger the lawyer was.
Yeah.
Than he was before. So they have the gift stamp, and it looks like this episode they're going on the offensive.
Yeah, because we, okay, so like, it seems like Aguilera is going to be having a crisis of
faith.
Yeah, faith. Like something, I don't know if this is going to be her being like, oh, never mind, I don't want to be a part of this, or her being like, okay, no, I should totally just get Sakura to take my place and save myself some trouble. Like, is she going to double down, or is she going to back out?
Yeah.
Or none of that. I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to tell because, like, she was raised.
Yeah.
And, like, if she finds out that, no, this is actually what you were raised for, then it's going to be like, well.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say because it's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, documentaries of people who've been in cults since they were born. It's like, it's not so easy as to be like, oh, I'm the sacrifice.
Yeah.
I don't like that, and then just leave. It's usually something like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
You know, they don't even have, like, not always, of course. Everyone, you know, it's different. We're human beings, damn it.
Yeah.
But it's not something that's going to be resolved over the course of a 23-minute episode.
Yeah.
But this isn't real life.
Yeah.
Moving on from that, get that out of your head, because really, I don't see her just backing out full on, like, in just one episode, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's like, there should at least be, like, if this is the seeds of doubt are being sown this episode, and then she backs out next episode, I'd be okay with it. But if she's full on, like, nah, never mind, I don't want to be part of Dead Man in the same episode that they're trying to assault it, I don't. You get my point.
Yeah,
it'll be a little shaky.
They could do it, especially if they like hasten it or like with Julio.
Hmm.
Because that could like.
Yeah, that's true. Because that's if I'm thinking of it, if it's just her herself making her own choices.
Yeah,
but you're right. If there was another person being like, "Let's get the hell out of here,"
yeah,
that makes more sense.
Yeah,
but because we don't know Julio's backstory. Like, we really don't know what's going on there. Like, why does
we
he
just
care?
Know that he's very devoted to Aguilera?
Oh yeah, for whatever reason. Yeah, we don't know yet. That being said, I just remembered this is going to be hopefully a big Hiromi episode, right? Like, this is going to be
hopefully.
I'd hope so, because he just, you know, beating the ground and screaming.
Yeah.
Because the commander is dead. He found out.
So that means he has an arch.
Yeah. He's in the story now. He's not just a
random guy. He has not just a generic enemy of all dead man. He has now the chameleon.
Yeah. Specifically this guy.
Yes. So it's like, well, that means like that kind of leaves Daiji out, because it's like
he's his own worst enemy.
Well, it's like
they've tried to build it up this way of Sakura and the doctor and like Ikki and the lawyer, and now it's the chameleon and Hiromi. Mm-hmm. So it's like, where's Daichi's arch rival?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's his own himself.
Yeah, he's just beating himself up.
Because it's like, yeah, it's Kagero is his worst enemy.
Right. And then we're excluding the main three bad guys because
they're just the generic enemy of everybody.
Yeah.
They're the end enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like, because I'm thinking next couple of episodes, end of the arc.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's definitely getting close if they're going with arcs.
Yeah.
Because it's episode 15. I think that's when 01 was wrapping up its first arc. Yeah, I think actually both that and Saber kind of wrapped up around 15, right?
Yeah, around that where like Saber beat Caliber. And then that was also around when right when they beat in 01, that's right when they beat
Metsubo Jinrai.
Yeah, they beat specifically, they beat not Hirobi. They beat Jin. Jin was blown up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jin blew up. Hirobi got taken down, got kidnapped, and Guy showed up and was just like, now it's you and me.
Right, right, right.
That's around that time. So who knows if dead man's get taken out?
Yeah. And like, we still have absolutely no idea what's going on with the weird, creepy family.
Yeah, and we don't know. I don't think they're going to be in this episode.
No, I doubt it.
Unless we find out they're dead man.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
But we don't even know actually the end goal of dead man.
Yeah, like what happens when you summon GIF?
Yeah, they're like, is bad?
Yeah, what is the sacrifice even?
Is it like the end of the world bad? Or is it just like gas $7 a gallon bad? I mean.
Yeah. Right. Oh, man.
It's like, you're like, yeah, it's kind of convenient.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that kind of sucks.
Can you imagine if it was like, so a bad guy comes out and it's just like, I'm going to summon this huge ancient evil. What is it going to do? It's going to shorten the life expectancy of people.
Yeah.
Really? By 3 years.
Oh.
So life expectancy goes from 79 to 76? Yeah.
Thank you.
Millions of years for the course of the world. And you're like, I don't know if I should be fighting against that or not. That's, yeah. I mean, you are stealing from us, but it's just like.
It's like, right. It's like, on one hand, I don't like that. You're taking from me, and I want those things. But at the same time, do I want to live till 79?
Like, it's like, it's just
79 sucks. Sounds like it sucks.
Yeah. So it's like, do I fight that? I don't know. Yeah.
Nobody, that's how they join. They're like, you know, this isn't.
Yeah. That's why people are like, dude, 76 to 79 is the worst years of my life. That's why like everybody always talks about it. It's like, don't drink energy drinks. It's taking years off your life. I'm like, yeah, at the end.
Yeah, the end of it. No, it's like, yeah. If I'm missing out some of the middle, that just raises a lot of questions. Yes. Yeah.
If I stop drinking energy drinks and I got a couple more years in my 30s, then we'll start talking.
Yeah, something's horribly wrong.
So yeah, I mean, we still haven't seen Vice's upgrade.
Right. George has been a bit preoccupied and bitter.
Yeah, I mean, I think I know what it is because I see toys and stuff. They actually just like, it's funny where toys like reveal so many things. Like they just revealed the first appearance of Christian Bale's villain in the new Thor movie was like revealed through a Lego.
Oh.
Like, but it's still a Lego, so you don't actually know what it looks like.
Right, right, right. You're still not getting the full picture.
Like, I saw the figure arts reveal, which SH Figure Arts is like high quality action figures in Japan. They're releasing a Thor and Mighty Thor figurine for Love and Thunder.
Okay.
So Thor is Odin's son, and Mighty Thor is the Jane Thor.
Oh, okay.
So that's how they distinguish them, Thor and Mighty Thor. And so you look and you're like, she's got like a hammer with cracks all in it because Thor, the hammer was like broken during Ragnarok. And so you're like, oh, they're like revealing things about the movie.
Yeah, you're starting to piece it together.
Yeah. But so it's like, that's how toys are, even more so with Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like block all those sites because then I won't find any information about like actors and stuff like that. And like, those are the same sites where I find out like titles of movies and spinoffs and all that stuff. So I'm like, I'll just live with the spoilers of the forms.
You're kind
of
getting them how you would have if you lived there.
Yeah. Like
you would have seen these commercials as you're watching.
I would have seen them on covers of magazines in the stores and stuff. So I think I know. I think I know what Vice's form looks like, and I also know what their next upgrade is.
Okay.
But I haven't really seen that much about the others, but they're not the ones that sell the big toys.
Yeah, so they're not getting central spots or anything like that.
Because, I've just seen the extra stuff, the extra bits they add onto the belt, because they always add extra bits onto the belt. Like, that's what Barad is. It's like an extra scanner on the belt.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I will say what I want from this episode, or at least this episode or the next episode after, this block, this 1-2 punch of episodes, is a little bit more explanation as far as why the three are more up to date on the plan than Aguilera.
And
they go from, okay, I guess I'll be sacrificed, to being like,
yeah, they're brainwashed.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Hopefully there's at least something that I can grab on to.
All they need is a line that says, give Hashotis the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Just something small, even, or something huge, too. But if I can only get something small, at least something. And that's okay if it's, revealed through her side of things. Like, she's getting up to date, or, she's having an epiphany, or whatever. Her crisis, gives us more information. I'm sure they're not going to just leave us swimming, right? With nothing.
Oh, no, they will.
Yeah.
They'll be like, we're on. That was the last episode. We're moving on.
Yeah. It's like, let's forget that happened. Just move on. But I really hope that there's a little something that I am
glad that in this show, there is so little dead weight when it comes to characters.
Mm-hmm.
That is not, I say that, and then I also complain about, everybody being a Kamen Rider.
Uh-huh.
No, there's, the only, quote-unquote, comic character that hasn't been ingrained into the story yet is Pooh.
Right.
But the thing is many shows will have multiple characters that are just comic relief.
Yeah. There's one-off jokes.
Yeah. But there's very little dead weight in this because they've made those characters really tightly written with the mother and the father.
Mm-hmm.
And then that family was weird, but then you find out that they're part of it.
Yeah.
But it's especially the mother and the father, they're integral to the story, but they're also the comedic relief.
Right. Yeah.
At least
dad. And they've had just the mom in general, even if we were to cut the dad out, which I wouldn't, but she's had many moments where it's shaped.
Yes.
You know,
the moral compass of the family.
Right.
And so it's it's really refreshing for that much, not having that much extra in there. Because some series will have four or five extra characters. You'd be like, really?
Yeah, yeah.
In Wizard, there was a donut stand because he ate donuts all the time.
Oh, and then there'd just be random people.
No, the owner of the donut stand and the assistant at the donut stand were comedic relief characters the whole time. Imagine the confidence from Double without actually contributing to the story.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's just they're just jokes around town.
Yeah, gotcha.
And, they have those type of characters. Really? When do you have that in there? Just extra characters that you have to put in the movie somehow.
Right. Yeah.
The horrible idea that, a child, a hero in a child show just, constantly ate donuts.
Diabetes.
Plain sugar donuts. To be fair, Japanese donuts have less sugar, but
I bet cake donuts. You said right, a little bit more cakey.
Yeah, but they look like normal donuts.
So they trick you.
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll be like, I gotta get some donuts. You know, you get a hankering for a donut, and you go and you buy a donut, and you're like, this isn't a donut.
You're like, oh,
this is. Then you just leave depressed. You know.
So okay, I do want to say one more thing though. This is it weird or is it not weird at all that I'm more comfortable with her being raised as a sacrifice than as a child bride? I think it's actually they're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
It's like you, it's like, I'm sorry that you wanted this whole time, but we aren't that creepy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we just wanted to murder you to raise our dark lord. We didn't want to.
We're not that bad.
It's like, oh, okay. It's like, never mind. Do it. Yeah. Kill her.
Well, at least they waited until she grew up to marry. It wasn't like, she didn't be like, I was married to Gif when I was 8.
Right. It's not one of those oh, she's had her first blood sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? Weird sort of, she's ready now.
No. No, it's like, yeah, it was just like, they at least, waited until she was an adult to marry off to a demon lord. But yeah, so just interesting, I mean, it might be one or two episodes. This next episode could easily be to be continued.
Yeah, I mean, because I don't know how they're going to fit a full-on assault of the Dead Man Compound. There's so many this has to change things, right? This has to.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they fail, then I don't even know how the story works. But then if they succeed, then there's, like, now they're scattered.
I mean, it's easy. It could easily be Dead Man succeeding in the sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Easily, like, a thing is, like, they succeed in the sacrifice, but Aguilera or Ateca or something like that get away, so it's, like, he's not fully revived.
Yeah, right. And now they have to do some second ritual or something like that. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Or they fail this. I mean, straight up, they could kill Gif in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, they could. I feel like I'm worried. I guess I'm worried that what's going to happen here is we're going to get a super jammed in, like, everything needs to happen right now because we messed up sort of arc ending. And I'm going to look back at all the episodes before this going, like, did we really need that episode? Did we really need this sort of plot line? Like, if you needed to trim, you could have trimmed earlier. That's easy to say because they're doing it week by week, it feels like.
Yeah, and also it's easy for their having the answer of, like, this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's just because, I just don't want another, like, Saber situation with the second arc. You know what I mean? Where, like, it jammed together, all like everything is pushed into one, and it's like suddenly Luna's back and she's gone, and then we have
Where the goofy thing of him running across the sky and stuff like that.
Yeah,
where it was just like the worst episode in Saber.
It was. Yeah,
I mean, it ended well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were able to pull out of it, but
they managed to swerve out of that train wreck before. You know,
to be fair, if they're gonna have that train wreck, I'd rather them have it now. Then later, like at the end of the first arc, you can handle a train wreck a lot better than the end of the second arc.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that.
That's easy for me to say because I'm gonna watch it all the way through no matter what.
Right, we're watching it.
Yeah. But I guess if you've gotten all the way through the end of the second arc for the train wreck, you finish it.
Yeah, that's true.
If the train wreck happened at the start, you'd be like, I can just drop this.
Right, yeah.
It's because it's like easy for us to say, but like, I'd rather them mess up now. But
that's coming from us wanting just like quality the whole time.
Yeah.
And this is of course me just making the worst case scenario. It could be totally fine and not a train wreck at all. I am starting to get a little, like, the more I think about it, saying that there's no way that they could finish it all in one episode, I'm like, actually they could and it would be bad.
Yeah.
No. Or it could be really good and I'm just totally wrong.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Like, sometimes they do things that are, like, really surprising, like, how well they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, well, that's just it. There's so many times that I've given credit to the show that you'd think I would remember all those times that I gave it credit, and then I wouldn't be sitting here being pessimistic.
It's not like the original season of Yu Yu Hakusho, where I was, like, watching them, like, they got three episodes to kill all the guys. They got two episodes to kill all the... Did they just introduce a new villain?
Oh.
They got one episode to kill all the guys? They're just running off?
Oh.
I didn't know that it didn't end.
Right. Yeah, because of the final episode. I see what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
It ends on, like, Naraku's still out there. And
yeah, literally a new villain got introduced to the episode before.
It ends with, like, this sort of, like, running off into the sunset. Like, we're going to continue
gonna
our journey.
We're going to do it. And it's like...
Dude, I remember that, too. I was just, like, same look on my face where I'm just like, WTF just happened.
Yeah.
Is this real life? You hit the Google immediately.
I'm like, I'm okay with that now. I've come to kind of expect that, where I think I've told you this. I see anime series as extended trailers for source material of, like, books or or manga and stuff. Like, I watch the show, and I'm like, okay, I'm interested in these characters. I'm going to go actually see what happens to them now.
Right. No, thankfully, my Inuyasha experience was much... Like, I had a big buffer because I watched the Berserk anime. That was my introduction to that.
Yeah.
Like, I finished the Berserk anime, and I'm like, oh, hell no, that's the ending. Like, what is this? And I Google and find out that's, like, you know, volume 13 or whatever in the Golden Age. And it's like, we're up to, like, 20-something now.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I had to get caught up on that, and here we are in that nightmare.
Yeah.
It did not end well.
So,
but yeah, the whole point is just the ending is just, you're just like going like, how is that an ending? At least that one was a dark ending that you're thinking, I guess that could be the end of a story, like a horrible, horrible end to a story. Whereas Inuyasha is like, this is a non-ending. Like, you're kidding me. And then you find out there's controversy and whatnot. And then you're sitting there screaming. It's like, suck it up. I don't care if there's infighting. Just make it happen.
Well, like Log Horizon. The second season ended and everybody was waiting for the third season. It took like 5 years because the author had tax problems.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's not like that one studio that got burnt down and like three or four anime.
Kyoei.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was a serious tragedy. Like 30 people died.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how dare you guys halt production?
Yeah. Or is it with Kyoto? They shortened it to Kyo Animation.
I remember watching I've seen like a whole bunch of stuff on that, how that all happened, but
yeah,
still, it's like if you weren't paying attention and you just all of a sudden your show never gets another season, you're like, I don't understand.
If
everybody
I remember correctly about the shows that those done, actually, they have quite a few finished shows, which was nice because they, I think they did Clannad.
I think so. I mean, that sounds familiar. I don't know if I'm not sure. I'm not familiar what their studio did, but
I think they did like Clannad and Air and like those games.
Okay. Well, I know they're back up.
Yeah, they're back up now.
I wouldn't say it's a happy ending. I mean, that would be.
It's not an ending.
For me to say. Yeah, they're just back.
It was a sad chapter in the story
of their anime studio. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's a good way to put it. Sad chapter.
It was a sad chapter, but they're moving on now.
Right.
Because, yeah, it would have been a sad ending if they didn't come back.
Yeah. Oh, God. All those anime just dropped.
So, that being said, we're going to go find out.
Yeah. I mean, no use speculating. We just got to see how they come up with the idea to assault.
Yes.
The Dead Man's Base.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to blow it up?
Probably at the end.
You think they're going to blow it up in like a reference to original Kamen Rider?
Oh, blow the base?
No. Yeah.
Well, if it is going to be the end of an arc, they'll blow up the base and we'll get to see what else happens.
Right. You can imagine the club owner like finally coming out. It's like he's been tied up in the closet this whole time. Finally comes out just as it's blowing up.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
What?
That's like, this was no, my spot.
Maybe we'll find out actually what it is.
Yeah. What is going on there? Why does it look like it's a nightclub? Like,
it also kind of, like, from the outside, I'm trying to remember, did it look like it was underwater?
I honestly don't remember. I just feel like it shouldn't be right on a main street or something weird
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Right? Like, it's got to be. Like, if it's underwater, it makes sense.
Yeah.
How it's been, like, if, that's another thing. We asked this a long time ago. If they know where Dead Man's Base is, why didn't they handle this, like, ages ago?
Yeah, because, if it is, like, a tracker on the stamp.
Right, yeah.
Because, also, we're like, if, we still also don't know, like, how much Daiji knows about what Kagero does.
Right, like how much information is shared and whatnot.
Yeah, because Kagero's been there.
Hell, we don't even know for certain that this isn't Kagero. Because now that I think about it, sure, he got beat out of the form and said, hey, that's hurt, but I don't think we've seen him transform back to life. Because last episode, it was just him.
Oh, yeah, but we also haven't seen demons in forever.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that they could show, aha, I've been Kagero the whole time,
yeah.
And it would make perfect sense. It'd be kind of shifty, but, you know,
yeah.
There's really no proof that it's been Daiji other than he's acting like Daiji, so it must be Daiji.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going that route,
yeah.
Just that I'm not going to be caught off guard if it happens.
Yeah, well, at any point it could be Kagero.
Right. You get bonked hard enough.
Yeah, fell out of my bed. Kagero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's go see if Kagero gets summoned.
Okay, we'll be back. Come on! Is it nice? Okay, and we are back. And I was right about a lot of things, but like we said, we threw out like 1,000 guesses.
Uh-huh.
So
you just gotta say enough, you're never gonna be wrong.
Yes. So it starts off this right where the last episode ended.
Yeah, yeah, like it immediately picks up.
They, like, reverse 3 lines and they go for it.
Uh-huh. And so we find out that she's going to be the soul sacrifice.
Yeah.
That's the trick. They're going to use their energies, but she's the one that's actually going to be sacrificed. She's a little confused, but it's not like she's outright against it.
Yeah. So I guess what it's going to be is she's... When they say sacrifice, it's vessel.
Yeah.
They actually say the word vessel. So they're going to use their energies to resurrect Gif and, like, how they are the vessels for whatever stamp, he's going to, like... She's going to be the vessel for him. And so I can see where they're like raising a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, you're going to become one
yeah.
by marrying him.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Not like a way
yeah,
to explain.
I wonder if the words they were using was it more like union or something like that. Not necessarily like marriage.
Yeah.
In general. I don't know. I would have to go back and actually like take that word and be like, was it the actual word in Japanese for?
Well, I think they're using marriage because he's in a dress and all that stuff. So, I mean, anyway, she took it as marriage.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so basically they, you know, there's some confusion. Obviously Julio is super pissed.
Yeah. He goes ballistic and they like knock him down.
Yeah. Cause she's like, well, what then? I thought you said such and such and yada yada. And he's like, no, we just needed an untainted vessel of evil.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She's like, so you lied to me? And he's like, oh, you're up to date pretty quick.
Yeah, you're catching on, girl.
And that's what really sets Julio off. Yeah. So he's like going all rabid dog, and they're like, hey, calm the hell down.
Yeah, two of them grab him, calm down, and then she is like, in a way, chameleon judo chops her out.
Yeah, whoop-hop. And I think they also like punch Julio in the stomach, but he's not knocked out.
Yes. Yeah. So this is when I wanted to point out that I looked it up, and the actor who plays the chameleon commander is the same height as George.
Okay.
It's just George is always sitting down next to him.
Oh, that's true. Now that you mention it. Or he's always like in the background or in the foreground in a way that you can't really compare their heights.
They're both like 6'1".
Hmm.
I think they're like a centimeter apart because they do centimeters.
Yeah.
They're like 1 or 2 centimeters apart or something like that. But they're both like 6'1".
Yeah. You know, in a country of small people, I think you would start worrying about centimeters.
Yeah.
You know, you start worrying about like, and 3 millimeters. Yeah. I'm 3 days older than you, and that's why I'm the senior.
And I think Toma's actor was like 6'2".
Mm.
So he's just barely taller than them.
Yeah.
But
still, they're all tall.
Yeah. Because like the actor who played Kento was the same height.
Yeah. Which was weird. Yeah. I remember it was so bizarre.
But to be fair, Toma wears hats.
Yeah.
Which makes him look taller when he's standing next to somebody.
Yeah. Plus, he also seems like, with the way he dressed in that show, I could totally see him wearing like platform shoes or something. Yeah. So like totally out of place.
You wouldn't be able to tell because the pants are so big around his feet. But anyway, so like, but even when I know that and I'm watching the show and I'm like, Commander still seems way taller than George.
Yeah.
But yeah, I looked it up. I'm like, is he? Also, I like saw a picture of like George just in another show and stuff like that, and I couldn't recognize him at first.
Oh, because he's not dressed like a tool.
Yeah, he doesn't have the glasses, he doesn't have the hair clips up, he just looks like an old person. Because you're like, oh, yeah, well, it was the same thing when we watched those Saber, like, videographies, and we saw them as people. You're just like, oh, they just look like people.
It's like, wait, who is this guy? Oh, it's that guy. I needed you to hold your sword for me to understand.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you're just a person.
Yeah, when you're not being a character.
Yeah.
No, but speaking of George, there's so much English. Like, he just randomly says an English word. Like, every sentence, like, he does it before, but it's always usually, like, the same, like, hey, or, you know.
Yeah.
So, in this one, it's just like...
He's throwing them out there, yeah. Yeah, like, a third of his words are in English.
I think that scene ends there.
Yeah,
it lingers in such a way that you think it's going to the opening.
Yeah.
But no.
Because it's like it shows her fall down, some rose petals are falling,
uh-huh.
And then it like fades to black, and you're like, oh, it's going to the opening, and then it's Christmas tree. And you're like, oh, yeah, this was in December.
Yeah.
And it's they're having like a Christmas celebration. Iki's dressed. They're like having a Christmas thing where like Iki's dressed as a reindeer and both the mom and Sakura are dressed as Santas.
And he's just handing out rubber duckies to the guests.
It's, yeah. And rubber duckies with like little Santa hats on. Right. Because it's the bathhouse.
Yeah. and so like Sakura's just behind the desk and she's like, is this really the time for this? Like we got dead man messing around. Like, you know, we're in a pinch here.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's exactly why it's the time for this.
Yeah.
It's our time off. We need to use it.
When you have days off, you take them. It's kind of like that thing is like, you know. When you the soldier mentality, if you have a chance to eat, eat. If you have a chance to sleep, sleep. You know, because you never know when you're going to be able to do it again.
Right. And then he says something like, "A good bath is the first step towards world peace." It's like, okay.
Well, like I think we explained before, Japanese have this whole thing about like bonding while bathing.
Yeah,
because it's like you can't hide anything. You're like, it's kind of the same idea where they have a thing where like you drink with your bosses.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you're being honest about yourself and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, plus I could see it too, because you're like relaxed.
Yes.
You know, you're calmed down. Blood pressure's lower.
Yeah. I'm against both of them, but that's just me. So then they'll be like, she's like, and then,
this part.
The Boo comes in like with the dad like slumped over and he's just like,
looks like he's been beat up or something.
And the mom was over. She's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? It's like, Boo's like, he was trying to see the record of how many sneezes he could do in a minute.
And, I'm like, and they're like, what, how does that hurt your hips? And he's like, oh, I just got into it.
I got into it too much and I hurt my back.
Yeah, he basically sneezed himself out of his hips.
Well, technically a sneeze is a seizure. So.
Yeah. I just don't know how you can force a sneeze.
So there is a condition. Some people have it where if you look at the sun, you sneeze.
Really?
Yeah, it is a thing that actually is like a select number of the population. If they just look at the sun, they'll sneeze.
Now, okay, my question is that like if they were inside and they looked at the ceiling when they sneeze, or does it literally have to be the sun?
It's the light of the sun like triggers something in them.
So bizarre. I feel like that should be studied. I feel like some of these people need to be dissected. I know how that sounds evil, but
I'm sure there's like a full, like if you read into it, there's like all the explanation. But I do know, I've known a couple people that have it, and they have to be like careful when they're like in their cars and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of like those things that like, you know, I have the thing where I don't feel emotions when I listen to music, and like just there's a lot of people with it. It's just like nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
It's not, you're not going to wear a ribbon for it.
So, yeah, you're not going to have one of those little bracelets.
Yeah. So it's just like nobody really, it doesn't affect most people's everyday lives. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there, also he could have been using pepper. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that could be a good point. Good point.
Yeah. So then while they're dealing with all of that, Daiji comes in.
Yeah. So he comes in. He's like, Iki, Sakura.
We got to talk. Mm-hmm. And so they go talk, and we get the flashback scene with explaining everything.
Yeah. You see Hiromi like sitting there, and Daiji's like, look, we got to go get, got to go get Dead Man. And he's like, yeah, we do, but how? And then,
like, where are they? And Hiromi, and this is when.
George
is just like, hey, I got this.
Yeah, so we see that he did get a tracker, but it was not the tracker I thought. Like, I was thinking it was going to be the big one that he showed. Instead, it's like this little tiny squared black
thing.
No, the
big one he showed in the last episode, that was the bug that the commander had put in his room.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I thought he had flipped the script on him with that.
No, that was like showing him that he knew he was listening.
Uh-huh. But yeah. No, he uses this little black little thingy that blends into it. Like, it literally melds with it somehow. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just wondering, it's like, man, if you had this tech this whole time, you could have had every one of the belts have one of these on it. Like, there's so many uses for this.
Yeah. And so Hiromi,
you could have known where Kagero was the whole time.
Then Hiromi is just like, get all the soldiers. And he's just like, hey, calm down. Like,
calm down.
And he's like, and then he shows them on the map. He's just like, yeah, we know where they are, but they're like a mile underground.
Yeah, it's like we know the location, but we don't know how to get there, which is kind of a big deal.
Because it's in an underground cavern by the bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it goes back to the siblings talking. And
yeah,
like,
I think they're back at home now, and they're like, wow, we're really stumped here.
Yeah, and they're like, did you try talking to the dead man people in rehab? And they're like, yeah, but their memories are all fuzzy and messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sakura's just like, Kagero knows.
Yeah, what about Kagero? He's like, oh, yeah. So they come up with this plan that they're going to ask Kagero.
And Daiji,
Daiji's like, that's pretty thankless.
I don't think that's not a good idea.
So it transitions to a scene where he's being held by Sakura, and they're all transformed. And Iki's getting primed up to do a kick, and he jumps in the air, and the stamp is like there, and it goes to the opening.
Yeah.
So,
so sibling abuse.
Uh-huh. That's what this is for sure.
Yeah. I mean, just because it works doesn't mean it was right.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right at all.
Couldn't they have done like, there's like a dozen, I mean, couldn't Vice gone into him or something?
Well, honestly, this is one of those situations where there's got to be somebody to interrogate. I mean, I realize that their memories are fuzzy, but to think that you can't get something out of it seems a bit weird.
Yeah, even
especially with how many random people have gone there and gotten the little Give Junior stamps. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, even that, I mean, like, Vice could have gone inside Kagero. I mean, inside Daiji and talked to Kagero. They could have just hypnotized him, for Pete's sake.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the fun way to do it.
Yeah. Okay. So that. All that being said, it's a funny scene.
Yeah,
it is. Because it comes back from the opening, and he gets whomped, of course, and you know he's like rolling around. He's dehension now, face down in the dirt.
And they're like, did it work?
And he gets up. Like,
what I thought was funny is like before the thing, like Vice was on a swing, and he's just like, he was almost like, should we be doing this kind of thing?
It's like, this
like the way
off.
He's talking about, like, is this the right thing to do right now?
Yeah, yeah. Seriously.
Yeah.
So he's getting up like, how dare you hit me? And they're like, oh, that's him, because the harsh language he's using.
And his makeup's changed.
Right.
He has eyeliner and lipstick. That's how you know it's Kagero.
Yeah, so they rush over to him, and they're like, oh, we need a favor from you. And he's like, a favor? And then he grabs Iki. He's like, you want a favor from me?
You're like, I thought I'd never see the day. Why would I ever help you?
So she threatens him. She's like, well,
they tell her what he wants first. We want to know how to get to Dead Man's thing.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you think I would tell you or something like that? And I was like, I can't remember exactly how he puts it, but it sounds like he's saying no.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, if you don't do it, I'm going to kick you.
And I'm not going to hold back like Iki did.
Yeah. And then he's just like, I didn't say I wouldn't do it, just that you have to do something for me first.
Yeah.
And so
this is like the start of the Kagero redemption. This is how Vice was at the start.
Yeah, this is how it's done. This is literally, it's like you, like everybody, I feel like this is how it's done. It's like you find that one thing. In this case, spicy curry.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to have some more of that spicy curry.
Yeah. And so he's like eating four or five carrot things of it. And like they established earlier that Daiji hates spicy.
Yes. He absolutely despises it.
But Kagero loves spicy.
Yeah.
Because he's the devil of Kagero.
Devouring. He's like, oh, that tingling in my throat. Oh, we forgot to mention that
Vice asked if Santa was tasty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. way earlier. He's like, what's a Santa? Is it tasty?
Because he's always thinks everything is food. It's like, because now he sees that Kagero eating. He's like, oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, because he says Santa's not food. And he's like, oh, it's boring.
Yeah. So Kagero eats like four or five plates of curry.
And then goes into a food coma. And then Daiji comes back.
Yeah.
So I know that sounds like there should have been a conversation about what we need to know. That all happened off screen. Probably during the first or second bowl of spicy
curry. And also, like, it's like one of those things that, know, it's like Kagero knows they'll keep their word.
Mm-hmm.
So he's willing to, as soon as they agree to something, go with it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, Daiji's not going to go back on his word. I mean, Iki's not going to go back on his word. Sakura, eh. But Iki won't go back on his word if he says he's going to do something. So then if you know that, you actually have more leverage and freedom making deals and stuff like that. So,
but yeah, he passes out from a food coma, and then Daiji comes up like, oh, it's spicy.
See, yeah.
Dear God.
Because I think Kagero likes the pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point of spicy.
Uh-huh.
Is it like releases a certain type of pain and caps into your brain.
Yeah, capsaicin. And you get that beautiful, beautiful burn.
Yeah, which I don't like, but
I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't hate it. It's just that most foods that have it, I don't like the taste. Like, I don't like habanero. I don't like jalapeno.
Yeah.
And then what are you left with? Red chilies?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Maybe a ghost pepper is delicious.
Well, ghost pepper's not bad. I've had ghost pepper powder. I haven't had the actual plant. I've had powdered version of it.
Yeah, like
it burns. But
I was talking to someone. They grow their own
damn good taco,
and they grow their own ghost peppers, and they go out and he agitates them like every week. So that they come out even spicier.
He agitates them.
Yeah, like he like aggravates them. Something he does to them that makes them like he like waters them.
Oh, maybe he slaps them or something.
Yeah, something to them to like break them up. So when they're growing and stuff, but so it's like it's something to make them even hotter when they're like. something you can do in a small batch, you couldn't do in a large field or something like that.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's just like, but I love the term, he agitates them. He's calm, you'll never admit to anything.
Yeah, how dare you.
That's how you get the real spice. And so they're like, okay, we got this. And then they try to sneak out.
Yeah, they try to sneak out and then they see their dad's butt.
Yeah. I mean, they bathe together all the time. So it's not like
the first time they've seen their dad's butt.
Yeah.
So the mom's giving him like a little
a heat pad,
you know, making sure it's on there for his hips because he's all thing. It's just cracks hanging out. It's not like a full on booty.
Yeah,
but they're
this
coming
is no
by.
Double.
And it's like, where do you think you're going? They go through the whole like, you know, Sakura, you should stay behind. She's like, don't treat me like a kid. It's like, and they're like, oh, it's okay. We'll protect her. It'll be fine.
And she's like, you know, I'm stronger than the two of you. And they're like, well, actually, one of the cool things is like when her mom's like, no, they can't go. Iki's just like, she's like part of our strength.
Yeah, she's
like
part of our strategy.
She's like the corner of our strength initiative here. You know, we need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're going with like, she is that like Iki is not like pure power. He is variety. Like
he's well-rounded.
He can do like just about anything. He's got like 9,000 abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daiji is like the agile one. And then like Sakura's power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like that. And then Hiromi is rage.
Yes, pure rage.
which is a Kamen Rider style.
It is. Yeah.
We see that with Excel. Vulcan.
Uh-huh.
That's what half of Saber characters were.
Right, exactly.
Just rage is a style.
It's a style.
So they convince her and they'll be like, okay, we'll protect her, and then they go. We'll protect her as we go and fight the terrorist organization.
Well, so the mom's not totally convinced, so he uses Vice as like
A distraction.
So he uses Vice, like possesses a cat.
It's a luck cat.
Yeah, Luck Hat, he makes it dispense gold coins.
Yeah. So I'm like, do they have Infinite Wolf?
I was just thinking that. It's like, dude, that's freaking crazy. I wonder if it disappears or if it's like literally there forever.
Yeah. I mean, or is it not real gold? Is it just plastic? Or
yeah, like what the heck? I need to know.
These are answers to the jokes that we need to know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they do like death battles and they like take those like joke scenes that were in shows and be like, what does this mean?
Yeah, is this legit or is this somebody?
When you're like going to Superman and it's just like, well, he lifted a book with infinite pages.
Yeah, which means he's got infinite strength.
Yeah. He helped lift a book with Wonder Woman with unlimited strength, but Wonder Woman has a defined strength limit and Superman doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that means Wonder Woman lifted as much as she could and Superman lifted the rest, which is infinity.
Yeah, it's infinity, regardless. Like, it doesn't matter how many people add hands to it, it's still infinity.
Yeah. Superman is the strongest one. Yeah. So just like infinite pages. Do you realize what you're saying?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's like, do you realize the implications of what you're talking about here?
Uh-huh.
And that's what this is. It's like a little joke thing. And it's just like, let's talk about this.
Yeah. Like, how hard can we take this superpower?
Yeah.
Vice OP.
Like, you know, he can possess things. I'm like, what about a building?
Yeah. Like, how big, how small? Like, what's the
limits here? Because you, like, stamp a building and Vice just, like, walk off with the building or something like that?
Yeah. Like, how's that work?
You know, just that is enough to, like, break in any bank fold or anything like that.
You can confine an entire building of people.
Yeah.
You become the haunted house and it's like, don't move or you get shuttered.
In Jetman, they had to fight a building that was a monster.
Huh.
Like, that was the first episode in the series where they got their giant robot and it wasn't like a monster getting bit. The monster was a building.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Mimics. Sometimes they get too big.
Yes.
They're not all chests.
So
they take that opportunity to dip out.
Yeah.
And then it goes to Aguilera waking up.
Yeah, Aguilera waking up, strapped to a chair, and Chameleon being creepy.
Yeah, very creepy.
Yeah. And, you know, because he's a, like, I know this is just like, I'm a bad guy now, so let's do this.
Yeah,
and you know,
been waiting his whole life.
And the idea of somebody who like steals other people's identities and like walks around pretending to be them probably is a creepy guy to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think there's any normal way to make a doppelganger. I think they're always going to be.
Well, yeah, it's like the idea of personal space doesn't really apply to you if you become other people.
Right. Yeah.
I'm inside them. Julio is just like, oh!
Yeah, so he's all like, oi. Oi.
And I love that, like, the comedian's like, okay, chill.
Damn.
And this is where Aguilera's just like, okay, well, if that's what Gif wants.
I'll do it.
And this kind of, like, breaks Julio a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, oh. Because he's ready to fight, you know, he's ready to fight for her. So they kind of, you know, he's been kind of slumped a few times. So they kind of just throw him over. They get into their little semicircle, full circle shape now with Ortega at the head. And he's like, well, let's just begin. And they start the ritual. And a big pentagram of energy comes out.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a pentagram. What else could it be? You know, I think if there's any ever, there was a time, it's like they're supposedly demons. It's appropriate.
Plus, there's five of them.
Yeah. I mean, that being said, it really makes sense. That's why I thought six was such a weird number. It's like, okay, Mark of the Beast, I guess, 666. Maybe that's what they're going with. No, it was 5 + 1. It makes so much sense.
Yes.
It's like, ah, of course.
Yeah. So then it comes to Club Freedom.
Yeah, so they're outside of Club Freedom. We see that this is where, you know,
it's like either a derelict or disused, like, dance club or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or even if it's still used, it's not today, that's for sure. I wonder if it's, like, one of those, like, you rent it out sort of deals.
Maybe. So they come in, and, like, Hiromi's just like, are you sure about this?
Because, like, it's, like, dead. It's nothing.
And they're like, no, yeah, this is, Kaguro said this is where it is.
Yeah, we just go back there and say some stuff.
It's like it's over there. And so this is the scene from the
preview. Where they say Gracias
Dead Man, which is the password to get in. Totally makes sense.
Right. I don't think they understand the idea of passwords, though. I mean, like, you literally say it all the time. It's almost like using your birth date as your password.
Well, you have to be in the right place.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. And you have to know to stick your hand out or whatever.
It's kind of like, even though it's a password, it's like when you log in, you need to know your email and your password, and you're throwing your email out everywhere.
Yeah. And so they're throwing out the Gracias Dead Man out everywhere, but the password part is like where you have to say it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So one part is like out there, and then the other part is secret. And they teleport, and George is like, whoa! And then...
Yeah, he's like, oh, he's going to do this every time they come into a new room, basically. Whoa. Oh.
Well, he's not there.
Something in English.
Well, to be fair, he's the science guy, and he's not there for the military part of it.
Right. What's he even there for? Serious question. What does he even do? I think he throws, okay, he does one thing, but he could have done that at any point. He kept coming.
Yeah. He's there because without the commander, he's now in charge of Phoenix.
I guess. I there's field command. There's like, I don't know. It's like, is he the best suited to lead a ground strike?
To be fair, he does not lead. He is the last one. He is in the back always.
Yeah.
And also,
it just almost seems like a very bad idea to have him there for any reason.
But, yeah. But
who knows? Maybe they're anticipating something. I'm not.
If they need a bomb defused, he's the one to do it.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, probably they just have like Loveco eat it or something.
Yeah. Some crap like that. Vice, go ahead and sit on that. You'll be fine.
Yes. And then have a cartoon explosion in their stomach.
So inside the ritual room, the stamp gets grabbed by like a Gift's hand, I guess.
Statue of Gift, of like you look at it, it's got like arms that are wrapped up, kind of like how the Plantaria dead man is.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of extra arms.
Yeah. And so one of those arms come out and like energy arms, and it's grabbing the stamp, and then a big contract comes up. So it's like the same thing with the level 2. Mm. Got to stamp it. And then take over Aguilera.
Yeah.
So it's like I think I've talked to you about, we mentioned this last time. It's like this show remembers.
Yeah.
It remembers what it did in previous episodes.
Yes.
So it's like all the contract stuff is like lower grade versions of GIF,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they remember Kagero, you know, and all this stuff. So it's like, and they remember that like it wasn't underwater. I remember it now seeing it again. It's underground. It was in a cavern.
Yeah.
That the club of dead man. So yeah. That's because I remember seeing it. I'm like, that does not look like a normal place.
Yeah, because okay, so like on top side, it's just a club. Yeah. But when they go through, it's like a weird painting thing. I don't know how to describe it, but they go through and there's a bunch of people just kind of standing around. And then they're like, oh crap, it's the Popo. And then of course the Popo is like, arrest them. Yeah. And so it's just all hectic and crazy. Yeah. People screaming and running around. So
the writers come out. They're not writer form yet, but that's the group of them.
Uh huh.
And Iki's just like, hey, there's lights over there. Let's go that way.
Right. That just makes sense.
To be fair, in any club, that's the manager's office area.
Yeah.
The place that can look over the whole group.
Yeah, because everything else is dimly lit.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Like, everyone's just kind of standing around in a dark
room. It's like, hey, you know, giant monster, the flashing thing, you attack it.
But yeah, so they run toward the light. They find them. They kind of interrupt the little
ritual thing.
Ritual.
And it's the siblings there. And this is when Ortega is just like, well, I guess you get a reprieve of living your own life.
Yeah, and she's like, shut up. Leave me alone.
And then the three of them transform.
Yeah, they all henshin versus the other. Like, all of them are already transformed. All the bad guys, they transform for the ritual. So the three of them henshin. There's a brawl. It's all over the place.
Yes, there is a lot of fighting here. And I like, they use the space as if it was a brawl. I like that. Where they build it as chaotic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's really hard to keep track of, but in a good way.
Yes.
Not in a bad way. It's not like I ever, I'm like, wait, how did he get there? And whatever. No. It's, so most of them match up just with random people. There's like no rhyme or reason. It's literally just everyone for themselves. Well, not everyone for themselves. You get my sense.
Yeah.
Their lines are drawn and things happen.
Yes.
But so Julio's taking this opportunity to try to get Aguilera out. He's like, you know, let me get you out. I want to say it was the lawyer, the Sabretooth, that came over and was like.
So they break up into how they did it before.
I think it was Sabretooth, right?
Yeah, so they break up versus each other like they did before. So yeah. It's Sabretooth versus Iki.
Well, what I'm saying is that somebody comes over and knocks out Julio because Julio's trying to get Aguilera out of the chair.
Oh, that was Ortega.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, whoever it was.
So Ortega was like fighting. Julio's trying to get it, and Ortega uses his tendrils.
Oh, that's right, the tendril.
He uses his tendrils to knock it up. And he's just like, just stand down, dog. And then they start fighting.
Yeah, so then the usual, like, who you'd expect go everywhere. I remember there's this one scene while they're fighting that the doctor, Planaria, the one, he's got Sakura pushed up over a guardrail.
And he's just like,
how do you like my new strength and whatnot?
Yeah. She's just, how do you like my new look? And he's just like, you're still hideous.
Yeah. Get off me.
And so they're fighting back and forth. And let's see here. The chameleon? Is this your... So at first, the chameleon's fighting.
The thing is, like, what I love is that Love Co. goes over next to
Aguilera.
Aguilera, and she's like, oh, what is that?
What?
Finally, a reasonable explanation for Love Co.
Freaked out by this weird thing.
Yeah. That's what everybody should be doing.
Yes. So, the fight's, at this point, Vice is fighting the chameleon.
Yeah.
And he assumes the shape of Vice. And Vice is like, hey, don't copy me. What are you doing? And then he starts they start doing the thing where they're doing similar mannerisms or whatnot. And Ikki looks over like, whoa.
Dude, Vice is this? Who is it? And he's like, it's me, Ikki. And the other one's like, no, it's me, Ikki.
He's like, don't believe him. And then he's like, okay, so what do you think of my family? And he's like, oh, I love them to death. And the other one's like, they look tasty. And so he's like, oh, okay. And he takes his sword and he slices the first one.
The one that said that he loves him.
And he even turns like, tasty, what?
And he's just like, who's tasty? He's like, oh, whatever, give me that. Grabs the sword and he does the anti-piracy slash.
Yeah. Teach you to take my form.
And then he does like a, breaks him over his shoulder.
Oh, the Vice Buster.
Yeah. Which they can do because it's just a suit stuffing.
Yeah.
There's nobody in there. But it's just like they put a cracking sound. You're like, oh, that looks like it hurts.
But this is when Hiromi walks up. And
yeah, because he turns into, so I guess his base form now is just the commander. And then Hiromi comes up and he's just like, even if it costs me my life, I'm going to defeat you.
Mm-hmm.
And he transforms into demon. It's been a while since we've seen demons. And
yeah, he starts rocking him, does a finisher.
Well, Ikki does a finisher on Orteka first.
Oh, you're right. And then he switches to Barried Rex.
Yeah.
And sizes up against the lawyer.
Yeah. Because Orteka is like knocked out of a wall and he's outside.
Right. Because their fight's continuing on. And so it's like the lawyer's coming up to him and is like, oh, have you, I don't know, it's a forced, you know, crisis of thought moment that never really happened and shouldn't be. But I can't remember exactly how he asked him. It's like, oh, have you figured out how to not be such an egoist yet or something like that? And he's like, no, but if my fighting hurts someone, I'll bear that weight. And I'm just like, okay, I guess we'll just move on. Let's just get past this part. So I guess he's grown, I suppose.
Basically, he's learned a lesson of some kind. He's basically saying, it's like, no, I'm just trying to get better. I'm just trying to be, because like, I think what they came out to be is like, he does feel good and kind of like prominent when he helps people, but Vice pointed out, it's like, so what?
Yeah. I just feel like there's something that this should have been stewed on a little bit more for it to be impactful in any way.
I think also this is a cultural thing.
Yeah. I feel like there's something here that doesn't need to be said that I'm not getting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's that thing. I think it's a little cultural, like, unsaid, because there is, like, not just in, like, the actual words, but there is a lot not said in Japanese that is just implied, not just in the language in general, but just like, because you don't say verbs and stuff like that. But it's like, it's just understand. Like, if you watch, like, Terrace House. For those who don't know, it's like a Japanese a reality show. And it's like, it's just a bunch of people living together. But unlike other reality shows, there's commentators.
Oh.
So there's the group of young people who are living in a house together, and then there's a group of like commentators, like sports commentators, talking about it, and so that's where you get like all these weird connotations. Like, it's like two people like just talking casually and like, you know, talking about like how they thought this, and then it turned out to be that and stuff like that, and it goes to the commentators. And I can't believe they hate each other so much. You're like,
what? I didn't pick that up.
Like, did you watch? And it's like the cultural setups, right? It's just like, I can't believe that's bad. That was so harsh. And it's just like, oh no, I didn't really think that. And then it's just like, oh!
Yeah, it's like, oh God, the 1-2 blow. He's down.
So it's like, it's the same thing as like a...
yeah, whatever. Something about this is just, I missed the point.
We're not getting it. So...
yeah, I'm not, this isn't my suck for the episode.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's just multiple barriers between us, but, or it's could be written, cause it could be like, we don't understand it, or it could be just bad. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know enough to know if it's bad or not.
Yeah. It's just like, whatever, we get it. Especially because he's like, whatever it is, he's willing to bear the weight of his actions.
It's like when
he'll take responsibility.
It's like when you're a kid and you don't know what bad pizza is.
Yeah, so all pizza is good.
All pizza is just pizza.
Yeah.
You're like, you have the Tostitos and you're just like, this is delicious. Yeah. I mean, they still are, but you know it's bad pizza now.
Right. Now you know Tostitos. It's like, sure, I'll eat it, but that doesn't make it right.
Yes. So So yeah, they like kick him around a little bit.
So Sakura, somehow the fight with the doctor has swept back into the sacrificial room.
It never left.
Oh, it didn't?
No.
Oh, that's right. It's because the railing is just the railing. Gotcha.
Yeah, Sakura was never left that. The other two are fighting on the dance floor.
Gotcha.
Or the three are fighting on the dance floor, or for four. The rest of the fight's
Everyone else is fighting on the dance floor.
And Sakura's just dancing in the ritual room. And then this is when George comes in and throws her a new.
Yeah, it's like, hey, use the stamp. And he chucks her one. And it's the turtle.
And I'm thinking, oh, shield.
No. It gives her a cannon.
Yeah.
It gives her a cannon. Now, at first I was like, huh? And then no. This makes perfect sense. This is the reason why Blastoise has cannons. It occurred to me that, and this is Korean, but there's turtle ships. And they were known for having a round top and a deadly cannon fire.
Yeah.
And it's within the same area the Japanese fought against the turtle ships. It makes perfect sense for everything from that to be derivative.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, whatever. So what I like about this, what I really like about this is it takes away my whole complaint about her getting kung fu abilities.
Uh-huh.
Because now it's just anything.
Yeah, she gets weapons.
She gets weapons.
Weapon styles.
The next thing is she's going to get like a control panel and she's going to call a satellite down. It's going to be a...
I almost feel like she's going to get a whip. But that's just it. How do you use a whip? It would have to be animated, right?
We watched 71.
Yeah.
It's animated.
But... yeah. So that stings.
Yeah. So this like alleviates my complaint about her getting kung fu weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just any weapon now.
Yeah.
It's going to get some six shooters. And,
you know, like, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, but...
I doubt it.
No, Daiji has the gun.
He has the pistol. You're right. You're right. But she has a cannon.
Yes. Which totally just knocks him off the whole thing. And so she follows up with, like, she goes and follows him down to the dance floor.
Yeah, off the screen.
And this is where George is
like,
just,
oh, what's this?
And Aguilera is just like, teacher, you already had it off and Gif's home. He's like,
yeah, don't you touch Gif. And she's like, really, like,
yeah. And then he's like, oh, so this is Gif. And then he starts putting his hands all over Gif.
He shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah. So then it goes to,
I think it's a quick scene of Orteca getting rocked by Live.
We see
Orteca getting rocked by Live out of
nowhere. Yeah, Orteca gets knocked out of the entire building by Live.
Yeah, he's gone.
And then Hiromi,
he is fighting Chameleon and kind of suffers heart failure. Kamen Rider heart failure over there.
Yeah.
It's like the fourth time.
The pain of the form.
Gunk, gunk.
You just have to get over it.
Yeah, no, I mean, just like, every, you know, just get over it. Oh, yeah. You having a heart attack? Weak?
Yeah.
Just
and
stop.
This is where Chameleon starts mocking him about it, and then he just powers through it.
Can you imagine? Yeah, can you imagine if somebody starts having a heart attack and you just walk up to an old person and you're just
we
like,
forgot to
hey,
mention,
and then they're like, oh, okay, sorry.
We forgot to mention that this is actually the first time we saw Demon's actual finisher.
Oh, with the spider legs coming up into like a point?
Yeah, because he like slams his belt down and then like the spider legs come around into the point and he like kicks it. This is the first time we've ever seen his base finisher. So, but now he's outside and he uses the scorpion genome.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen this.
Scorpion tail.
Gets a scorpion tail and he uses it like you would think he should use a tail.
Yeah.
Because many times when they get like tail things, they just turn around.
Yeah, so he's whipping with it. I would like to have seen more combinations. Like the suit actor, all the suit actor is doing is turning around. Like the other one's acting like he's getting hit with a tail, doing a pretty good job of it. But all the actual suit actor is doing is like he's moving up, like dodging and letting the tail do the work. And I would like to see like a kick or a punch thrown in between. That's just me. But yeah, like you said, usually it's just like a lazy turnaround and the person's like, whoa, gets tripped over or something.
Yeah.
Like they're actually, like they actually got a tail attached
yes.
to it. But... so yeah, he's cleaning house with that. We see so they all kind of end up in the same general area.
Yeah.
They're in the center of the thing, like all the good guys are on one side, all the bad guys on one side.
The doctor and the lawyer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not all of them, you're right.
So the doctor and the lawyer are on one side and the siblings and Vice are there. And they all go to do their kicks.
Yeah, they all start charging up a simultaneous finisher.
And Vice is just like, this is awesome.
Oh, this is going to be great. And he's looking at the camera.
Yeah, one of the...
I want to say it's the doctor, Planaria.
Planaria, he like shoots a bunch of bubbles or whatever, and Vice blocks it with his shield.
Right. And then they, you know, go and do their finishers.
And he drops down and becomes a stepping stone from them.
Yeah.
And they all jump up and do a triple finish kick.
And just completely obliterate them into...
They kill them.
Death mist. Yeah. They're done.
And like... This visibly affects Iki. They probably won't talk about it ever again.
No, but it's like, whoa, I didn't mean to. It's like almost like you have super strength and you didn't mean to punch through the guy's skull, but there you have it.
Yeah. Well, the thing, to be fair, every other time they've kicked people, they've just been untransformed.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time they've used a finisher on a Gift X.
Yeah. And they're speaking of which, they're absorbed by GIF.
Yeah.
Like all their red energy like sucks into the GIF statue.
Then they just go. So it's like, yeah, this is the first time. Now this is going to be interesting if they hesitate to finish other
Julio
ones.
And Arteca, yeah.
Because it's like, this is me killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're probably way far gone, but like, now we know.
It's serious.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they did it as that both of them at the same time, because that would save me the complaint of like the other one being like, don't.
Yeah, no, don't, please, please. Oh, I'm a person. Don't you
know,
see?
Like the siblings stopping the other siblings from finishing them off.
Oh, gotcha. I still feel like that's going to happen, but it's going to happen to like one of the other ones.
Yeah, like we can get rid of these two who are like the extras.
They were always the extras.
Yeah. I mean, it was good that they remembered them, brought them back, but they were always the extras to begin with. They were fillers, the number fillers.
And more than that, they were sacrificed for GIF. I mean, even if nothing came of it, that energy did clearly get sucked into a statue. I don't care what happens from this point. They can always come back and be like, well, he's got 2/5 of the energy he needs, or just whatever the hell.
They can bring back a weaker GIF.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what I love is like the energy is coming in, and when the energy is coming in, George is trying to lift the statue.
Yeah,
I think he was trying to take it with him.
He's got that,
and like she's actually yelling. He's like, "Get off your muscle brain!" And he's just like trying to live, and he's moving it too. He's just like, "Come on, come on!" I'm like, what are you going to do? Carry it on your back?
Right. So the stage starts to collapse around them because the base is something's happening.
Yeah,
and George is like, "Ooh, that's my cue.
I smell danger. See you later, little." He's like, "I'll see you later, little demon princess," and he just leaves her there to die.
Why wouldn't you? I don't like. It like, makes perfect sense. Like, what? There's so many other people you need to worry about, including yourself. Like,
and she's the enemy.
Yeah, don't be a hero. And she doesn't look like she's upset at all. She doesn't look like she's afraid for her life.
Yeah. So he's
if anything, it looks like things are going as planned.
Yeah. He's just like, "I'm out. See ya." So they're getting ready to go. And George gets down and he says, like, "It's time to go, people."
Oh, while this is happening, I forgot to mention that. So we see the energy fly into GIF. All that stuff happens. The base is breaking. And Vice starts to have a very serious headache.
Also, there is something. It happened randomly at one point. Somebody grabs the GIF stamp.
Yes.
So that's gone somewhere. But yeah, Vice is having a headache. Most likely because he's a demon.
Because, yeah, so at this point, Sakura is like, "Aguilera," and she starts to go rush off into the whatever room, and Iki's like, "No, don't go, I'll go. I've said I'd protect you," yada yada, and she's like, "No, I still want to go," and he's like, "No," and she's like, "Okay," and then she leaves. And so he goes in to undo her straps or whatever.
He should have been like, "Hey, I have my mid-season, so you stay here.
Like, go, shoo.
Do you look at me?"
Right? Look at me. I'm iced out. Literally.
So, but they're going, and I like advice is just like, "Okay, it's time for us to shine." Like, I've been like around so many riders, nobody begins to pay attention to me. Now it's just the two of us.
Right.
And so they go, and like, Aguilera's there, and Iki is starting to unbuckle the thing.
And she's being all tsundere about it. He's like, "No, I don't want you. Gift doesn't
get
want
off me." And he's just like, basically, he's just like, "I don't care what you want. I'm helping you."
Yeah, nothing matters if I can't marry Gift. God.
And he's just like, "I'm the biggest busybody in the world." What impresses me about this scene is how well the actor is able to unbuckle those things with those gloves.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can't unbuckle those things with my own hands, let alone a pair of gloves on. I mean, they're all set up, but it just look. But they well put up of him just like undoing it, and Vice is just like, "Hey, saying you don't want help is like catnip to him."
Yeah, I think Vice is checking on Julio, right?
Yeah, but he just like lifts his arm. It's like, "Somebody's knocked out."
So, obviously something starts to break up and rise out of the ground, and it's a spaceship thing.
Yeah,
it's a saucer with tendrils. I don't know what to call this besides a demon spaceship.
It's a demon UFO. This is actually the headquarters.
Yeah. Okay. So it just buried itself underground.
Yeah. This is where they were standing the whole time. So there's a bunch of energy coming off the GIF statue, and they managed to block Aguilera, even though Aguilera is just like, "Get off me!"
Yeah, leave me alone. And I think Vice says something like, "You go, I've got this. Like, I'll handle this, you go out." And then he's like, "Okay." And so Iki
jumps through the roof. He 71s it. He could have grabbed them all and just jumped through the roof.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Synced it. So then Ikki CGIs this fight.
Oh, boy, does he. He summons basically all of his things, the buddy ups, whatever those were created.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they're called. But they come up in these little, like, eggs, like an egg carton, and they're like...
They pop as... They're gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
That's the exact same sound as when you pop open a gotcha egg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, they come... So... This is actually like the case they're in is the case that Japanese eggs come in. Japanese eggs come in a plastic case, not in a cardboard case.
Okay.
They come in like a plastic case with like a pull tab.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So this is actually like the case that Japanese eggs would come in. So you could actually, it actually makes a lot more sense because you can look and see if an egg is broken without even like picking it up.
It does. It makes a lot more sense. Yeah, it's better for the environment.
Yeah.
I mean, plastic versus styrofoam. I think styrofoam is still considered worse.
You know, there's styrofoam, but also we have, like, a lot of them come in cardboard. So.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, it's more of a...
Cardboard's
It's
better.
More of a cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they're gotcha things. And so I'm 10 to 1. There's probably actually the gotchas that you get of these.
Probably. And yeah. I don't see what the point would be otherwise, right?
Yeah. Like. So, yeah. So he just... I mean, there's no other way to say it. He just uses them all and does a bunch of kicks.
Yeah, it's like he's like everybody max, and it's something like Bari stamp fever.
Something like that. Well, but on the, what's good on the inside is Vice, he knocks out Aguilera. He punches in his stomach. You know, Japanese.
It's the equivalent of like the 1950s guy just vigorously shakes woman like 9 times, gives her fetal brain syndrome or whatever.
Well, it's like it happens in anime too. You just get punched in the stomach and you fall unconscious.
Now, here's the thing. I have had the wind knocked out of me.
Yeah.
With a very strong solar. It wasn't a punch. It was like I ran into something and it just like perfectly got up in there. I think it was actually a bike handle. And I can see, like, I almost passed out, but you have to, like, have not breathed for a good second. Like, you have to have had so little oxygen in your body.
It's one of these things.
Like, I guess she's screaming, right? So she should be close to out of breath.
Yeah, it's just like...
But it's a trope.
Yeah, it's a trope.
Regardless. It's the one-shot punch to the gut.
Yeah. And then he goes over and he gets Julio. And then outside, Ikki does... Well, also, we forgot to mention, this thing is, like, outside attacking the city.
Mm-hmm. It's just flailing tendrils for no reason.
Yeah.
Maximum damage.
So they manage to get out. The gift statue falls over. Ikki does like a super kick, blow up all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They all blow up and they all land.
Everyone's safe. Oh, I forgot to mention, there's this moment where stuff's happening and like everybody, they're all right next to each other. Bad guys and good guys, dehension, and they're just standing there.
They're watching. Yeah.
Watching. Just, it's like, whatever, fine. But it only kills me in the case of Hiromi, where it's like you had all this drive to murder this guy and you decide,
So my only thought
we're both
is,
still standing.
Is there, it's a giant giant spaceship with tendrils.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, we might transform into Kamen Rider, but this is messed up.
Yeah.
Like, they're in like, what's going on?
Yeah, I just feel like it undermines his priorities. Like, it kind of, because he even starts by saying, like, even if it kills me or even if it's the last thing I do.
Yeah, so I think it will help. Like, from the trailer, it looks like the scene picks up right where that left off.
Right, I don't think we're going to be left.
I think that'll help. But yeah, they're all just standing and watching because also, it's like there's this giant thing attacking and they're all hoping Ikki can handle it.
Uh-huh.
And then the gift X are just like hoping he can't handle it. So everybody's just watching this.
Right,
like,
right.
Our
and
fight-
plus also it's like the way things are filmed or are viewed, it's like they're just trying to show that people are watching. It doesn't mean that they're actually sitting there staring the entire time.
Yeah. It's just like whatever the outcome of this determines what we're going to do next.
Yeah.
So, Vice jumps out. They all blow up the spaceship. Vice lands with the two of them, and he's just like, "Wow, let's see how cool I was." They're all like, "Ikki," and then
Aguilera's all sad.
Aguilera wakes up. She's like, "Kisama," and Julio wakes up to like hold her back, and that's where the episode ends.
So, yeah, she's distraught.
So it was good that it ended as a two-parter.
Yeah.
So. It's like up in the air if this is the last episode of the arc or if the next episode is the last episode of the arc.
Right.
Depends on how far they go into the story of like the new norm. Because it looks like in the trailer, it looks like it's going to be like
Orteca
and the chameleon, like what they're going to do forward.
Right. Because they're the last two of that faction, yeah. I guess, now.
And then like what is going to happen with Aguilera and Julio. I could see them putting Aguilera and Julio just like in rehabilitation. And like that's where their characters are for the next couple of episodes till we figure out what to do with them.
Yeah, something to do.
Yeah. And then like Ortega and Julio are like, now they're the only bad guys on the ropes. And then they could easily bring in, if GIF actually did resurrect, they have like something else going on there.
Mm-hmm.
What is your suck?
Okay. I'm trying not to be too super critical here. Like I understand it's just a thing and there was some good comedy from it. If I had to pick one thing, and it all kind of, I think everything kind of stems from this, is that I just feel like she's evil. I can see why Aguilera really wants her on her squad. There's just something off, man. It's just like, okay, sure. Being stupid enough to be like, hey, what if we just bring back Kagero despite, you know, the fact that my brother has been struggling with this? Like, there's a whole thing. You have no idea the trauma he's been through. Or no, that's just it. That's just it. That's the part that kills me. If you were ignorant to the trauma that he's been through, you'd get a pass. If you weren't related to him and known him your whole life, you'd get a pass. This is somebody you grew up with. You know the struggle. And you're just like, let's just do it. Why don't we just beat his ass until it comes out and then threaten an even worse ass beating to the same body if he doesn't do what I want? That's psychotic. That's freaking psychotic. It's like she shows more concern for Aguilera than she does her own family. That's freaking weird. If she doesn't go full evil at some point, even if it's just an offhand like 1-2 episode thing, I'm probably going to be like, what? I feel like this has been leading up to it. A heel turn? Like, it's always been there. Like, I think she's going to get a heel turn of some kind.
Yeah.
And then come back, of course. But at this point, it's like, dude, I relate more to the villains of this than you. I don't understand. I just don't understand her. I really don't.
So I don't think she's going to get a heel turn. I think that's just like, I think she is an extra character.
Yeah, it's just, man, it's like, dude.
No, I think she was a character that the writer was told to put in the show.
Oh, just all of a sudden? Like, like at the last minute, they're like, hey, they're like,
we need a female writer. Now make a third sibling.
I can see that. I can see that. Because it's just like, I'm not saying that there's nothing, like I hate her to her core or anything like that. I just feel like I'm looking at these kind of things like, that's not what a human being does. Like that's, and I realize that's, I know that's weird. We're watching a character in a show, but most of them, there's still like some humanity. We're even beginning to give like humanity to Julio and Aguilera, who really, they don't need it. It makes it more interesting, but you could be like, well, they're demons, whatever. I don't care. But they're now getting, I relate more to their emotions than I do hers. If she has any, that's my kind of what I'm getting at. I can almost see her replacing Christian Bale in American Psycho.
So
there's something off.
Yeah, I have no problem with the whole thing because also Iggy just went along with it, no problem.
Yeah, So but he's at least willing to hold back because he knows how much it needs to knock him out. It's like threatening physical harm. That's not hurting Kagero.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. Okay, here, let's play this scenario out. You kick him so hard that it does actual permanent physical damage, and then Kagero switches back to Daiji and doesn't feel any of it. Wow. Good thinking. You get what I'm saying? It's ridiculous.
Well, I do, but yeah, I just see it as the way to get it.
I know. It's a plot device. I get that. It's just like, I was willing to just like, you know, at the point, I'm like, okay, it was still funny and there's spicy curry and all that. And like, it's great. And we get that chance to have Kagero be able to switch and be part. Like, we can see evil fight as well as live fight, which I want. We were always saying that we kind of wanted that.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the point where they're like, let's go save Aguilera. There's actually nothing that says she needs to be saved other than she's strapped down, but she's also not calling for help. She doesn't seem to be distressed at all. This, again, like that could have been part of her plan. Like why do we suddenly have these feelings that we need to protect everyone? Like you didn't have that problem with anybody else here. It's not like you were looking around like, where's Ortega?
Yeah. Well, the thing is like,
what about all these civilians?
Aguilera has like revealed about the fact that like, so Sakura knows that Aguilera has been brainwashed by a cult.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just it. So you would think she would have a little bit of sympathy for her brother, who is...
Well, the thing is like, for her, Kagero full on.
And like I understand, Kagero and Daiji are different individuals in her mind.
I know. I think the problem. There's something here. She must have been dropped as a child.
And also, I know that you have a problem with her, and so everything like accentuates. It's like whenever George does something wrong.
No, this isn't that. This is continued behavior.
Yeah,
this is continued behavior. The problem is the same problem. It's like there's something about it that's just wrong.
Yeah, so
like I can see the fun in George. George has changed in my mind. Like, I was definitely being harsh, but I gave him an opportunity. In this case, I'm like, I don't know if I should. This is weird.
Yeah,
like, it's not cute.
Yeah, so I don't like. I see it as that she's an I really do think she's an extra character that was thrown in by the studio.
Yeah.
She's a studio character.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. And I'm sure the thing is
that, that's what I feel watching it and like her scenes and stuff. It's just like. The writer, he had a story, and then he needs Sakura in that story.
Yeah, just like make it happen, change some stuff around, do this.
And like, that's why her things feel weird.
Yeah, that you know, that very well could be. That very well could be. I just feel like none of this is going to be addressed. Like none of this is an issue. This isn't an issue for anyone around her.
Yeah.
And that's the like the thing I'm having was like nobody's picking this out. Like if there was just a psycho in your midst and nobody points it out, like a guy's like, ha, this food tastes like human blood and takes a huge bite and everyone's just like eating their food as if nobody just said that. Like yeah, it's like this. I'm like everyone's next to this just psychopath.
Yeah, so I don't see it that badly. I mean, I just don't see it like as well. Like I don't see it as like well written, like her parts.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah, no, we agree there.
And that's what I think it is. It's like she's an extra character. So like in my head automatically, I judge her parts less differently.
That's fair. I mean, because here's the thing. The first time, because we always watch the episode twice. The first time I watched the episode, I wasn't really heated about it. It was the second time through that I'm like, what is this though? Like, what is this really? And that's when I started applying it to like backwards being like, you're just rushing in. Like, you don't care what you're doing. Like, you don't care.
And like, if they do point out the fact that like she makes a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
That would add up.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I like basically. I want something to happen with her character that.
But it's like they're building with it because like these episodes aren't about her because they're the end of an arc.
Right.
And so this is a big fight scene episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like they and so that whole thing is to get Kagero more involved in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to kick him. That's how we get Kagero.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice that we found out that you don't have to kick him to get Kagero. Away.
Yeah, he just has to go away or just lose consciousness. I wonder if he never slept that entire time as he was Daiji. Because I remember they were saying something that he wasn't sleeping.
Yeah, he was always tired.
So maybe if he loses consciousness in any way.
He goes back to being Daiji.
Yeah.
And that's why they put the dark circles under his eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like.
I hope that's it because that would be cool. It's like Daiji's the dominant personality until something weird happens.
As soon as something happens to bring Kagero out, he has to stay awake until. Until, like, that's...
Yeah, it's almost like a guaranteed time limit because you can only stay awake for so long.
Ah, he's a demon.
Yeah, well, okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Because he was, like, Kagero for, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah. So what's your suck?
So, my suck is that there's still no super form for Vice.
Yeah, yeah.
This is kind of what would be a good time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there was extra... Because, like, Hiromi got a new genome. Mm-hmm. Sakura got a new genome. I mean, it would have actually...
Daiji didn't, but...
It would be cool if Daiji would have got one either, too. But, like, this would have been a perfect time, like, we're going into this final battle thing here. Use this. And even if he was just like, hey, Vice, use this, but only in case of emergency type of thing.
Yeah, you know, now you mention it, it doesn't... It, like, it almost feels like it's not a real mid-season because only one of them... Like, it's like half of a mid-season.
It is half a mid-season because... Like I was saying, from what I've pieced together, Vice has his own.
Okay.
And like when the two of them are, when they both do it, it's like when they're both happy.
Yeah.
So, but don't get me wrong, Shield's awesome.
Yeah.
And he uses it very well.
It is. Or maybe we'll get it in the next episode because if it's a continuation,
yeah.
You know, that wasn't part, like we didn't need that for the story. We needed that triple sibling beatdown is what we needed. Well, not beatdown. They did the beatdowning.
Yeah.
They dealt the beatdown.
The beatdowning.
The beatdowning. No, it's at least one of us isn't taking our kids' shows personally.
Yes.
With their sucks.
Dude, like, literally, I've seen Kamen Rider shows where a main character is a serial killer.
I would almost rather that be the case, because it's like, at least it's acknowledged.
Or worse, a lawyer.
I think that's why I'm I think that's why I'm really...
They're in the same show, and you end up hating the lawyer more.
But no, that's why I relate more to Julio. It's like, at least I know he views this thing. It's like, she's willing to do that to friends and family, I guess. That's the part that bugs me. It's like, something weird. Like, I'm not necessarily the closest guy to my family, but I don't, like, actively, I'm not going to take any opportunity I can to beat on them. You know, anyway.
Yeah.
I do like the shield. I don't know how they would do the palette, or like, would they make him look more like a robot dinosaur, or would he actually get, because with Iki, he kind of still has the same look about him. I mean, it's different, but it's not like he's changed entirely.
You know, I don't want to go into it without, like, I haven't looked closely at it. I've just seen like scenes.
Fair enough.
That I think are what it is. So, what is your Segoy?
So my Segoy is that the base makes sense. I mean, like, because even if you did follow somebody into that club, you might. So I'm just saying, let's say they've done the research to the point where they followed somebody into the club and then they just disappear.
Yeah.
And you could even do like a sensor thing in the surrounding area and still not find an entrance, because it's literally a portal way down into the, like, a mile deep or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You might never find the entrance. So it could be actually that they did figure out the club was the right place, but then nothing came of it. And so they were like, nah, we must have been wrong. And so they eliminated it as a lead.
Yeah.
And so, you know, since it's been eliminated, it's never brought up or, you know, cross-checked again, right? And then now that they actually have a tracker that says, no, this is where it is. And then he acknowledges, well, we just don't know where the entrance is. So it was a nifty way to get rid of, because since the first episode we were talking about, how can you have a friggin' nightclub and nobody know where Deadman is? It doesn't make sense. Well, it's because it's way underground. This party wasn't on the top.
Yes.
Which, it was nice, because it's like a lot of the questions I wanted answered were answered this episode. Like, I didn't think they would be able to neatly tie it up, and it's not like totally, there's not a bow on it.
But, yeah. But it's not the last episode.
Right, and that's what I mean, is that it was like, it didn't feel rushed. It felt properly paced.
It made all of the reasons why they haven't attacked the base yet make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, sure, I would love a little bit more time with certain storylines, but, you know, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah.
And at least it's not rushed like the second arc. Like, it, literally the ending of the second arc of Saber was just like, why'd you even bother? Just move on to the third arc at this point.
When they created Solomon in like half an episode.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was like done.
In a field on like a dining room table. It was like an end table from IKEA. It wasn't even from IKEA. It was like an end table from like a secondhand shop. I really hated that table.
Yeah. you buy the table just so we can break it.
Yeah, yeah. So my Segoy is, I really, I like them, like the sub one really, is I like the space. They use the space of the club.
Yeah.
For the multiple fight levels and all that stuff. Like, it was chaos, but you knew where everything was at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it was a nice thing. But my real Segoy is just the triple kick.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
You know?
I like how, too, that it wasn't just, like, uncontested. Because usually whenever you see a rider kick, it's like, oh, I'm charging up, and then just go through with it. In this case, they actively tried to stop it, and then Vice intervened, and then the kick went through. So, and then after using him for a launch pad.
Yeah, the triple sibling kick was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, that their triple henshin was pretty cool, when all their belts said they're ups at the same time.
Yeah.
The buddy up, the liberate up, the versus up, all at the same time. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. And also, additional Segoy, though, just straight up killing two of the characters off. Like, I wasn't expecting anybody to die from this. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Up to this point, they haven't been a good field record of just straight up killing people.
Yeah.
In this show, anyway.
And it showed that it affected Iki, but he's in the middle of a battle.
Right.
So I think, that it will make a difference when he has to, like, face Orteca or something.
Because it means a lot, because he just said to the guy that got killed before that, he said that whatever happens, like, I'll bear the weight, right?
Yeah.
And then you end up killing somebody on accident.
Yeah.
It's like, now you got to put your money where your mouth is. You can bear that weight, or, you know.
So now,
I feel like it's a big deal.
Rider ranking.
Mm-hmm.
I know where you stand.
Well, for the most part, it's like, at this point, do I treat it as like, okay? Because like, the thing is, this kind of stuff, I don't know if she can recover from it. Like, in my mind, at this point, unless there's like an acknowledgement, she's always forever going to be fourth place. So In the interest of fair game, I will not count it.
You won't count the comedy.
Yes, but I will treat it as the comedy it's meant to be and just a funny moment between siblings that are like, haha, he held the bottle rocket too long and now his hands hurt. You know, he lost a finger, but dang it, that was funny. You know, I'm just going to treat it like one of those moments for the sake of the ranking. That way there can be a fair arbitration. Like, we can actually decide, okay, that was cool, this was cool, that power is great, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like I said, she's going to be forever fourth place in my mind, and we're just going to always have that argument.
Yeah.
So we're just going to get that out the window. That being said, we now have... I just don't know how Iki's going to the bottom after this point. Like, you summon everything and kick down a demon spaceship.
Yeah, come on.
You know, that's... Okay, so you're on the top. The question is, Daiji. I think Daiji, is he third or fourth? Did he have a strong character part this episode?
So, no. It's like, I really feel bad for Daiji because, so, like, what it is that it's either Daiji or Hiromi gets the shaft in the episode, it feels like.
It does kind of feel that way.
It, like, it alternates between who gets the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the case of, like, Phoenix, they feel the same role.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it, too. It almost feels like they should be the same character, but they're not. I don't want it that way. I'm just saying that there's a lot of times where you're like, oh, you could have easily given that scene to this person.
Yeah, when there's scenes that are interchangeable between the two of them. So,
And the things I really liked that Hiromi went in on it. He got the new power. He muscled through a heart attack.
Yeah.
And it was great, but then we didn't get to see the resolution of that.
Yeah, I think that'll be next episode.
Like, we saw a little bit of, it was like a little bit of justice, but it's not finished. So it's like, because he did something cool, but so did everybody else. Everyone had a fight this episode.
Yeah, so it's like, can they all just be second?
I just feel like, right? I just feel like Daiji didn't really have any stakes going into this, and his fight was with, like, what, he kicked out Orteca, but it wasn't like...
Yeah, so I think, unfortunately, Daiji's fourth.
Because, yeah, as you said, I'm trying to think of a moment where he didn't even have necessarily the battle. That was an Orteca that was already in a fight with somebody.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of did a finisher, and then...
So, I think Aguilar. I think Sakura third, and then Hiromi two.
I'm comfortable with it.
Third,
I do like
two.
The turtle cannon, though.
Turtle cannon is sweet, but we finally got to see Hiromi finishing move.
Right. And then the tail, I think, like I said, the tail looked really cool, and it's something that you could have and, like, do what you do normally plus a tail. I mean, we see it with, what's his face from My Hero?
Yeah.
Underutilized character.
Sojuro, I think his name is.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird, I don't even know if you call that a tail, whatever the hell that is. Paintbrush.
He has like a marsupial tail or something like that, Which is crazy that he got into class one with just that.
Yeah. It's martial arts, man.
Yeah. I wonder if his family, like, because quirks are, like, passed down. I wonder if he's, like, his family has a special martial art for using a tail.
Oh, probably. I almost guarantee it.
Like, they're passing down and stuff like that, and he has, like, they have a special martial art that he learned with his family.
Right. My Hero could be in his own podcast, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. I'm sure it is.
So, the next episode of Kamen Rider V-Vice is Desire to Protect, the Time of the Three Igarashi Siblings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's their time.
I wonder if that's, like, that's going to be, like, the second arc is, like, them doing everything. Like, something's going to happen, like, next episode, Phoenix is taken out somehow or something.
You know, I almost feel like it's got to be, there's something that's got to be shaken up. It's either got to be strife amongst the siblings or the organization that's backing them goes down, right?
Or it becomes the bad guys and it's the three of them versus the bad guy, the Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. That could work.
Phoenix becomes the bad guys, and then they have to go against Phoenix.
Although that would make me right about George being shifty all along.
Oh, George is shifty, but it's never been a question whether he's shifty. It's whether if he's a good guy shifty or a bad guy shifty.
Right, good guy shifty or bad guy shifty. It's funny that that's a thing.
Yes. So that will be our next episode. I've been Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
And we will see you next time.